flat out carved them up for the end of the first half and on into the second. DeMarco Dunn was nearly perfect today. 25 points, 10 of 12 from the field, 4 of 5 from the three-point line. This is the Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show as Penn State defeats Wisconsin here this afternoon, 86-75. We'll have more as our postgame coverage continues. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Wisconsin is known for some pretty great things, like football, food, and family. At Jones Dairy Farm, we're proud to be a Wisconsin company, one that's been family-owned and operated in Fort Atkinson. Our all-natural breakfast sausage, dry-aged bacon, naturally smoked ham, Canadian bacon, and Braunschweiger have all been making Wisconsin breakfast better since 1889. And that Wisconsin pride is why Jones is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Go Badgers!
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist, end the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it, because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
Looking for a fan favorite at your tailgate? Pork has you covered. Not only is it nutritious and delicious, but pork's got that flavor that your family expects. Firing up the grill? Try chops, brats, and ribs. Making appetizers or finger foods? Add bacon, ground, or shredded pork. Visit WPPA.org for recipe inspiration and to learn where you can source local pork. Wisconsin Pork Association is proud to support the Badgers and our farmers all year round. And you should too. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
Postgame coverage continues. Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show as Penn State takes down Wisconsin this afternoon, 86-75. Before we move on, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. 10 for an ID. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, as we talked about, a storyline in the coming days now for a Badger team that could, depending on other outcomes, go into the tournament, Big Ten tournament, as a six seed with all the tiebreakers going on. UCLA playing USC. You got Maryland hosting Northwestern. That game about to tip off. You know you're in the NCAA tournament, but you've got to get yourself ready first for the Big Ten tournament and trying to see what you could get with Max Klesmith and now Nolan Winter. I don't suspect we would know a whole lot here today. Obviously, we'll ask Greg what he knows or what he can tell us, but the answer is probably not much right now. He tried to get back into the game, but it just wasn't going to work for him.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing right now. Unfortunately, we've seen teams that have, you know, gone down that wrong road due to injuries. Now, get healthy. That's the reality with where they're at right now. Get healthy. See where Nolan's at. See where Max is at. And just start rolling here. I mean, you got to get back into it. You got to tap into it. And the best thing about it is even though now you now play Thursday, you play again. That's, you know, and this happens in the Big Ten tournament, you're done with the tournament. If it happens in the NCAA tournament, your season's over.
Yeah.
So you still have more games ahead of you, and that's my biggest takeaway.
Well, when something like this happens late in the season, and again with Nolan, he tried to come back in, but when injuries happen, especially late, I break out in a cold sweat for you because you live that. So if I'm doing, I can only imagine what runs through your mind when all of this. But that's injuries are bad at any time, but especially
towards the end of
the year,
it's terrible because you've played all year long with that group.
Yep.
We don't know.
We don't.
But at least, I mean, it did not look like it was one of those. We've seen some that you said, okay, he's not coming back for a while. We'll see where this is at. But it did not look like that immediately.
But, again, as we mentioned toward the end of the game, a ton of credit to Penn State. They get tremendous balance. DeMarco Dunn with a big-time game, 25 points. Yannick Cohen-Niederhauser, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 5 blocked shots in the game here today. Zach Hicks ends up with 14 points. Nick Kern with 12. Steven Crowell and John Blackwell each with 19 for Wisconsin. John Tanjay with 13. It's been a tougher go here in recent games for John, and you would imagine that. He's at the top of the scouting report, and today just 2 of 13 for the field. He did have 7 rebounds. Kamari McGee with 11 points, 10 of those in the first half. Nolan Winter, before he went out, ends up 7 points, 6 rebounds. Carter Gilmore with 4 points. Xavier Amos with 2. Penn State defeats Wisconsin 86-75. And we continue. We'll check out the Nissan Out of Town scoreboard. We'll check out some of the top 25 games today. Heartbreaker in Milwaukee for Marquette. We'll tell you about it as our postgame coverage continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We recognize the leadership of Trisha Zunker. This history maker from the Wausau area is the first Native American woman to run for Congress. Zunker is a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation and has served as a justice on its Supreme Court, leading the fight for health care and the rights of indigenous communities. She's also a teacher and former president of the Wausau School Board. She believes in standing up for students and teachers, promoting inclusivity and equity in education. Zunker's campaign for Congress and advocacy for our community inspires women of every background. She is a reminder for all people to pursue leadership roles to make your voices heard. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own herstory today. I'm Maggie Dawn.
Dave Forrester and the Ad Council.
Our postgame coverage continues as Penn State defeats Wisconsin this afternoon, 86-75. Other scores in the top 25. A gut punch for Marquette. St. John's in buzzer-beating fashion. Butch?
Buzzer-beating fashion, yes.
Defeated Marquette at Fiserv Forum, 86-84. Well, we'll say about Marquette what we say about Wisconsin. Got another game. They've got the Big East tournament. They're in the NCAA tournament, so they'll be dusting themselves off, and they're a very good team, and get themselves ready and get back to playing the way they have for a good chunk of this season. Elsewhere, other finals of the top 25, number 19, Kentucky outscored 15th-ranked Missouri, 91-83. It was Arkansas defeating 25th-ranked Mississippi State, 93-92. Coach Cal, big win for the Hogs today. Other games in progress, about 10 minutes remaining, is in Manhattan, Kansas, the Little Apple, as they say. Iowa State leads K-State 53-38. Tennessee and South Carolina tied at 34 at the half. Alabama leading Auburn 31-26. A little less than 7 minutes left in the first half. At halftime, Louisville leads Stanford 33-18. Early on in College Park, Northwestern leading Maryland 9-6. And again, they're just getting started there, about 3.5 minutes into that game. Later today, you got Ohio State and Indiana. And then later on this evening, it is USC taking on UCLA at Pauley Pavilion. Penn State wins here this afternoon, 86-75. Butchie and I will continue with our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Looking for a fan favorite at your tailgate? Pork has you covered. Not only is it nutritious and delicious, but pork's got that flavor that your family expects. Firing up the grill? Try chops, brats, and ribs. Making appetizers or finger foods? Add bacon, ground, or shredded pork. Visit WPPA.org for recipe inspiration and to learn where you can source local pork. Wisconsin Pork Association is proud to support the Badgers and our farmers all year round. And you should too. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it, because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
It's Truck Month with the Ford crew.
Sam, do you know what these trucks have in common?
They're all Ford trucks.
And?
And they're built Ford tough.
Also true, but specifically they're Ford F-Series trucks, the best-selling trucks in America for 48 years.
48 years? We should celebrate a month-long event.
Sam.
A truckload of value.
Sam.
Across the entire lineup of Ford trucks.
Sam.
That's called Truck Month already, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I knew it.
Based on 1977 to 2024 CY Industry reported total sales.
Wisconsin is known for some pretty great things, like football, food, and family. At Jones Dairy Farm, we're proud to be a Wisconsin company, one that's been family-owned and operated in Fort Atkinson. Our all-natural breakfast sausage, dry-aged bacon, naturally smoked ham, Canadian bacon, and Braunschweiger have all been making Wisconsin breakfast better since 1889. And that Wisconsin pride is why Jones is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Go Badgers!
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as Penn State defeats Wisconsin 86-75 and Indy Lions 56% shooting for the game, 60% in the second half. Go through a bunch of numbers, but you touched on the, I could tell you the what, you could tell me the why.
Yeah.
They just those paint touches were not happening nearly often enough for Wisconsin.
No, not offensively, right? And I thought a couple things they didn't do is work the high post. I thought there was a couple of times. Now, part of that was just, Nolan not being in there at times, some different lineups because Max Klusman is out, so just trying to figure that out. The other area that they didn't touch a lot of was really that short corner. They got that short corner action a couple of times, and it led to John Blackwell corner threes because the defense collapsed, and they were able to spray that. But they didn't get that. They definitely didn't get enough of the short corner and high post. Then defensively for me, I talked a lot about there's too much space, right? Like I've said that a lot in this game. And there were way too many straight line drives.
Yeah.
Because of the straight line drives, what then happened is the lobs happened because there was a lot of lobs. There's a lot of finishes at the basket. And what happens with straight line drives to a defense is it forces defenses to collapse. So when the defense thing collapses, now all of a sudden when the ball is sprayed out, even if you don't make the layup or take a shot at the rim, there's one extra pass out. That creates another closeout. And now all of a sudden you're in scramble mode. And that's when Penn State was able to bang a couple of threes. So when you allow straight line drives, nothing good happens. Yeah. Whether it's a finish at the rim, whether it's a closeout, another closeout that's forced, just nothing good happens. And there was a lot of those in that second half, and that's how you give up 51.
Yeah, that's.
This game is not that hard.
So other
right?
teams will be taking notes, not just next week, but more importantly in 2 weeks.
Well, and right? I think because of that, and then this is where now we've seen it a little bit pop its head up, is when you're not scoring the ball offensively, when you're not making shots, the one thing that can't do is affect your defense.
Yeah, and it did.
And it's, we've like I said, a couple of games we've seen it get mucky on the offensive side, and it trickled down to the other side. You can't. And that's one of those things that this group needs to buckle in on. And that's not coaching. I hate to say it like that, but that's the – if you're sitting in the chair, players, that's the one that you've got to try to say. Now, I get people saying we'll do this, but in the end, it's hey, I got your back, you got my back. We're not doing it this end. We got to make sure we do it on that end.
And now this is, you just touched on it, you know, the coaches will point out the corrections to be made.
Because it's been shown. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah.
But this is where there's the X's and O's, and we've used the word culture a lot, but it comes into play here, right? You just say, hey, you know, buckle up, let's go. Let's, you know, let's prove to everybody what happened is the exception to the rule. I mean, they went through the regular season with a 13-7 Big Ten mark and 23-8. Which is a lot better than people thought. They were picked to finish 12th in the Big Ten. Now, they could end up as low as a sixth seed, but this was a team that certainly, I don't know, its own expectations, they might tell you something different, but on the outside looking in, they have exceeded that. But now they just got to get this corrected. And you're spot on, obviously, about trying to fix things on the defensive end, but this team is really struggling to shoot the ball.
Well, they are.
Over the last five games.
It really has been, yeah.
Sitting here at just 32 made threes in some 133 attempts here over the last, or 37 made threes over that. So you're talking about a low percentage for a team that for most of the year in Big Ten play was in the upper 30s.
Well, they're the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a long time, they were the best. Right now, you look at how they've gone about it. I mean, it just in general, even three-point percentage, still they're second in Big Ten play. Like, yeah. So, I mean, it's not like that's how well they've shot it. So, yes, they have struggled over the last five. We can't lie about that. Numbers are what the numbers are. Now, I think some of that, though, Matt, has been because of the type of shots that they've taken and the type of threes.
Yeah.
And they've been a little bit different than what they've been taking. And I think that's where guys need to figure it out. You know, I remember how many times did we say, wow, that's a forced three because he's on a heater. That's the first time we've seen it was a bad shot.
Yes.
We said that a lot this year. Over the last four games or five games or so, we've kind of said, ooh, maybe not the best shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why and there's a reason why it's not like they become bad shooters here.
Right.
I would say it's more the quality of shot of three.
All right, we'll take one more break. We'll hope to check in with head coach Greg Gard here as Penn State wins it here this afternoon at the Kohl Center over the Badgers, 86-75. Back with more of our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show in 1 minute. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
The Badgers.
Sees Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
But as one of those, Henry, our trainer, you know, would always say, okay, we're good. Like, you guys are good. Like, you might not, like, but it was, we were playing good.
And Butchie, in 08, you guys did win it all on Sunday and after an overtime, emotionally
Correct.
Charged rally to beat Michigan State. And then you went on to the Sweet 16.
And so, then we ran into a guy called Steph. Otherwise,
the hottest dude in college basketball.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I thought we matched up really well with the Kansas team. We ended up winning it. So, and we weren't tired of the Sweet 16.
No.
Right? Like, there's enough to get through that. And I think that's where this group's depth sets them up well. But I do think it's really important for them to come to go to Indianapolis and play well. Now, people will say, well, last year they played well. Look what happened in the round one. Okay, like, but I just think where they're going, some momentum, and not momentum, but just, okay.
Yeah, like, and the other thing, too, to last year, you know, the dead legs possible, but I just remember after that Big Ten tournament, the next day I'm sitting down and talking to a couple of players, Tyler Wall and Max Klesman, and it was they got up off their chairs the way I do, and I'm old and unathletic, and I thought, uh-oh. I mean, they were hurting. They were playing hurt.
Correct.
You know, nobody's telling you live this stuff.
No
one feels great. But these guys were banged up dealing with stuff, and then they ran into a team that was a good team, was a very confident team, and one that loved the matchup against Wisconsin and was physical. Wisconsin wasn't able to handle
that.
They
didn't answer it that night.
It was a bad night.
But I do think that just the ability – on the depth of this team sets them up a little bit better. I do. I think it sets them up a little bit better. And for, you know, like the groups I played on, we had a lot of depth. And that allowed us to do that.
Yes.
So,
We're holding here for a little bit. This is a longer than normal network postgame show. We'll check in with Coach Gard here in the hopefully in the next couple of minutes. As again, all this stuff has to play out now through the rest of the Big Ten schedule going
the only,
in.
Yeah, the only thing you know is Thursday.
Yeah, so, Northwestern leads Maryland. A little bit of a grinder through the first 11 minutes of that game, 15-12. But you look at the other games, USC, UCLA. UCLA could pull into this what could end up being a four-way tie.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Indiana, that's going to tip off in about 20 minutes. That is a huge game in Bloomington. Indiana and Ohio State both trying to get that resume as strong as possible, and they, depending on who you trust, who you believe in the projections, are they last four in, are they first four out? It's part of the fun of this right now. I don't think those staffs would say the word fun.
But it's a big game for fans, absolutely.
Yeah, Coach Gard making his way out here now, and keep it relatively brief. And just a tough day here for the Badgers. They got off to such a good start, but the Nittany Lions storm back. They close the first half with a flourish, and that carries over to the second half en route to an 86-75 win against the Wisconsin Badgers. So Coach Gard making his way over. We'll check in with him momentarily as he settles in, gets the headset on, and we will get going as the Badgers will be getting ready for next week's Big Ten Conference Tournament. And I suppose, Coach, a lot of things that you would tell your team, but not the least of which is you're playing again, and then you're going to play again after that. So there's dust off and
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously, just credit to Penn State. You know, I thought they were more aggressive. They were more physical. And the game really turned at the end of the first half, I thought. You know, we had a 13-point lead, and we go 10 possessions, don't score. They go on an 8-0 run and ended the half with a three that we were too soft on the ball. Baldwin hits the three, actually his only bucket of the game. And it just gave them a lot of confidence, a lot of momentum going into halftime. And I didn't like, other than the first few minutes, I didn't like what I saw defensively. I didn't think we had the same bite to us and fight to us. And we could never seem to get them under control and get the ball under control. We were running underneath some screens with Dunn once he got going. I didn't like how we competed. So that's, as I told the team, that's, we're lucky. I mean, this stings. This isn't fun, but we'll have opportunities to see how we respond. And we're going to have one whenever we play next week. We've got to be much better. Got to be better in terms of just simple things that we weren't good enough at today.
Yeah, it looked like to me like there was a lot of downhill drives, and all of a sudden they're getting in there. Now all of a sudden they've got layups, they've got lobs, and when you give a team like Penn State, who knows this is their last game, some confidence.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you got your hands full.
Right.
And that's kind of, you talked about, that's
what
happened. Then offensively, it just at times kind of looked like it got a little mucky.
It did, with some of their, playing within the zone stuff and some switching, and then the ball goes to the high post and they go man-to-man. And, I thought we had some good looks, too, even in the first half, some really good looks. And when we did pull it inside, we scored a little bit in there, but not near as much as what we should have. Not near as we were too. We didn't go at the rim. We didn't go at them.
7 of 20 for layups.
Yeah. We didn't come with any physicality. We were flipping things and trying to finesse shoot things instead of going and really drawing contact and drawing the foul, making them foul us. I'll go through the tape and watch things, but I know the mood right now in the locker room is not good, and it shouldn't be good because that was not a good performance.
Another thing that every program in America getting ready for postseason, everybody holds its breath about is health. Max obviously working his way back, and then Nolan, anything you can tell us?
I don't know. I mean, obviously he came back in, and when I put him back in, I didn't think he looked like he was ready for what was coming. So I don't know. He'll meet with our doctors and stuff here and see where he's at with stuff, but like I said, we got to get healthy, but there's got to be a response, a better response than what I saw today.
Appreciate your time.
All right. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Well deserved.
I scored no points, no rebounds, no assists. But
okay. Well,
you guys make it easy for us, put it that way.
Well, we didn't today.
Well, you, You're a great group of people. So
all right.
It goes beyond that. So
congrats.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks Greg. All right. Badgers getting ready now for the Big Ten tournament next week as Penn State wins it here this afternoon, 86-75. Of course, I could say that announcement really inspired Penn State here today. So
wow.
I'll just go ahead and say it for you.
That being said, congratulations. like we talked about at halftime. A lot of Badger fans out there that appreciate everything you do. You're the best at it. It's been fun working with you, but it was fun listening to you as a kid. It was fun listening to calls as a player. Not calling you old by any means.
Oh, I am old.
I'm not old.
You did call him old.
I'm not old.
But that being said, congratulations. It's awesome. And you've got an impact on all these programs here. You've got a impact on this university, and we are very, very, very lucky to have you doing what you do. Yeah, so you're the best.
I'm the lucky one. Y'all make it fun. So it's and when we got more to do. Hopefully
we got a lot more to do. I believe in this team. I think, and I loved the message by Greg. Like, just flat out honest. We were not good enough, and that's the message they got. Mm. And you know what? That as a player, that's the message you want to hear.
No doubt.
Us accountable.
And this team
wants it, and they can handle that. In my opinion.
And that's the thing talking with these guys. I mean, you know, today obviously it blares, but they have said here throughout the course of the season, as well as they're playing, exceeding outside expectations. They know they can be better, and they certainly know they're a lot better
Absolutely.
Than the way they played here today. So appreciate y'all hanging with us. Appreciate Nick Brusewitz as well and the group for hanging on for the local postgame.
Local postgame, correct.
They've been waiting for a while, about ready to turn it over to them now. Penn State wins it here this afternoon, 86-75. That will do it for us. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Brian Butch, our engineer Dave McCann, and Aisha Jackson back in our network studio, this is Matt LePay. Join us next week. Date and time and opponent to be determined. Big Ten tournament down in Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger Basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. And by Fabic Rents. For all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. You got the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We are talking with Christina Dry, speechwriter, communications analyst for USAID. I really appreciate you being here and kind of giving us an insight to what's going on and what happened. And I wanted to talk about, like, what were the things that you experienced at USAID that was like, wow, this is why we do this?
Yeah. Wow. That's such a big question. I'll say I made me cry. I've seen USAID throughout my life. So my background is in studying atrocity and institutional decline, specifically in Eastern Europe. So I lived in Bosnia. You know, I also had a stint in Colombia. So I even saw USAID there before I even started working here. But at USAID, I would say that as a speechwriter, I got to speak to so many people doing research so that we effectively told their stories. And what I would hear from the ground is that, you know, there are thousands, tens of thousands of people around the world for whom USAID's work was not only a means of empowering their own communities and driving change, but also truly the lifeline between one meal and the next, or having a house and not having a house, or, you know, really being able to know that there was healthcare available. There are so many people who got, you know, HIV antiretroviral treatment from USAID, and it's literally the thing that gets you from day to day. Yeah. Like, that is how you manage that disease. I remember hearing stories of, you know, a widow in Ukraine whose house had been bombed, and USAID was helping her to, you know, rebuild that house and stay in her community. And she had lost some people in her family. And I just remember writing that speech and being like, wow, like, this is really changing lives. There's a story in Afghanistan where, you know, right now girls over the age of 12 aren't allowed to go to school. So one of the ways that they can continue to go to school is a midwife school that's hosted by USAID. And it's the only access they have to education past the age of 12, and also helps improve maternal health in that country. And that's now shut down. So these girls are like, not only do we know that our births and our pregnancies are going to be less healthy, the one way we had access to education past, you know, I guess the equivalent of sixth grade is gone. And we don't know what we're going to do.
You said something when we spoke on the phone earlier that stuck with me, and it like hit me like a ton of bricks. And you said that you traveled to different countries around the world that were run by like a dictator and all of that. And you said, I always wondered how that happened. And you said, well, I kind of know now. You know? And when you were watching the campaign and everything that was going on, I don't remember this being on the chopping block or on the radar. Did you guys see it coming?
No, my answer to that is not the way that this has happened. Even in Project 2025, when development was mentioned, it was always mentioned about changing the ways that we did it. We also knew within the walls of USAID, we knew that climate change was probably going to be on the chopping block. We knew, because it had been very clear that DEIA, with like diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, were going to be on the chopping block, which for USAID specifically, I know that's become like a very woke thing, but for USAID, we work with marginalized communities. We work with vulnerable communities. These communities usually are communities with people of color, indigenous communities, women. Like USAID is DEIA in many ways, in the ways that we work. So we knew that would hit us really hard. And we were working through how to, you know, communicate those things in new ways and how to reorganize our programs to achieve the same thing. Because, for example, if you have a women's, you know, empowerment program in Central America, maybe saying a women's empowerment program is DEIA, but it's also economic inclusion. So then you just, you know, well, it's an economic inclusion program. We, in our wildest dreams, did not imagine that this was the outcome. I was in the building those first 12 days, and it was unlike anything I've ever felt before.
What was it like?
It felt like so censored. It felt so frightening. It felt like there were ears in the walls. people would be there one day and then the next day they'd be gone and you didn't know where they had gone. We would literally walk. We would leave and we would walk two or three or four blocks away to get coffee because we did not feel safe communicating in the halls. We knew that our Google Meets were being transcribed early. You know, we'd heard that that was the case. And they even took down pictures from the walls of our work, pictures really? Of like women receiving food and children, you know, playing ball and stuff. They took them down. They unplugged our television so we couldn't watch news. The people in the front office. Okay. So it would have been the new political appointees. And then Doge was in the building the last week. It was really terrifying. I'm, a white woman here and mm-hmm. I have never heard the phrase "you're not safe" so many times as I did in those 12 days. And that's me. I know that my colleagues that, maybe are like visibly queer or, people of color felt even, more targeted because that was the very essence is that there's this sense of censorship. There's a sense of, humiliation. There's a sense of shame. And it felt very antithetical to not only everything we did as USAID, but also to who we are as Americans. And it was very scary.
Talk about that where, why this stuff matters and why the work is so vitally important. And then for someone to say that this is all, it's a whole thing as a fraud and to have I call them the Doge brown shirts, but coming in and, my words, not yours, but I mean, talk about that, the overwhelming sense of like, you have no idea.
Yeah. It felt like a betrayal, in the sense that we are public servants too, and we are serving the American people too. It might look like a different kind of service, but it still is service. And something that I found incredibly unique about USAID is, we're committed to serving the American people across administrations. And there are people at USAID who have worked for, truly decades, like 30, 40 years across administrations to do this work for good. And they're very willing to sit down with any new leadership and say, okay, like, I know that these are your priorities. Here's what we do. Here's how we can merge them together. Here's how we can compromise. Here's how we can still do the work in the field. And it was, they didn't want those conversations. They literally did not talk to us. They did not want to communicate. When people tried to communicate, they were ignored. So there was no good faith effort to, engage, to reform. It was just slash and burn. It was a raised earth strategy. And it's a fairly highly skilled field. I mean, you see these books behind me, and this is just like 1/20th of what people with PhDs that worked at USAID read to be able to do their work effectively. The research we do, the knowledge we have, the institutional knowledge that people who have been there for decades, and all of that was just completely, it was rendered invisible. I mean, it was rendered completely mute. And to think that not only your life's work, but also your life's, commitment to giving, to empathy, means nothing and is not valued. It felt like there's so many other options for people to serve around the world. Like, there is the private sector just sitting there, and these people have chosen to sacrifice their lives and their careers to do this work. And all we want to do is serve the American people. And for someone to look at you, well, not even give you the dignity of looking at you, to say that we don't want you here, we don't want your service, that hurt. I mean, it's a sense of grieving because it feels like there is no place. But what does it mean about our country when you're being told there is no place for empathy?
That's exactly right. What did you have conversations with people at Doge or people like, what was that like?
Yeah, I had conversations with the new political appointees. I didn't have conversations with Doge. Doge, we knew, were in the building, and they were, one coworker would pull you aside and say, Doge is in the building. Make sure,
are they hiding or something, or how?
There were like 8 of them, and they were all the young children you've seen in the articles, but they were all in the front office, the bros trying, they were up with the tech folks trying to like get all that stuff done. Cause after they were in the building for a few days, that Friday night is when all of our all of our websites went down that Saturday morning. My access was pulled without telling me mid-Saturday before the building was completely shut down. So that's what I was talking about when there's a digital go back for federal employees. I lost all access to my writing samples. I lost all access to my communications. I lost all access to certificates that I'd had for like good work. Everything gone, no way to retrieve them without like any information whatsoever. We did not get told that our access was going to go, and then it was just gone. And then with the websites being down, all of our documentation of our programs also gone. So the American Foreign Service Association has actually created what they call a digital go bag. And it's a list of things like get your clearance documents, get your certifications, get your like kudos, like if, you know, Samantha Powell had told me there was a good speech. I don't have that. Get your writing samples so you can apply to new jobs. And there's a list of it. So really, it was just a sense of fear. And then talking to the people in the front office, the new political appointees, and there were eight of them. I think two or three of them are not there anymore because they tried to stand up. But they were folks that were like a Tea Party activist from Lynchburg, someone who was a January 6th sympathizer. So there's a list of them that had that kind of background. And when you would communicate with them, it was just this like wall of, I just knew from day one when I met them that there was this sense that a decision had been, I didn't know what that was at the time, but it felt like you couldn't reach them, that there wasn't really a conversation about to happen. And of course, I was never able to write a speech for them because they closed the building and shut down the agency.
So as a federal employee, you're talking about this digital go bag. So that's something that like, you know, it's like a CYA to like a cover your, you know.
What is that? I mean, it is. So as a federal employee, and to clarify too, because this has gotten some traction online against me, but especially at USAID, there are a lot of different hiring categories. So there are people that are directly hired through USAID, and then most of our work is done by contractor, but you're still in the building. You still have a .gov email. You still have an office. Like it's just basically your pay is through someone else, through USAID. So it's just an extra person. I say this because even people that are contractors who 100% work for USAID, like I did, also need digital go bags. And it is a CYA. It's very much like if that goes away and you weren't told, but you also have to apply for other jobs in a job market that's saturated with like thousands of your fellow employees and best friends, you need the writing samples. You need the confirmation that you have a clearance if you have a clearance. You need the kudos and anything else that you use to get a new job, to function for your own memory's sake too. Like you want to have the communications and the work and also contacts. Like at USAID, we had 10,000 to 14,000 people employed, but we also worked with folks around the world. And when that went down, unless you knew their first and last name and they had an online presence, you'll never get to tell them sorry. Like none of us have been able to look at people in the field who we served and say, this wasn't our decision. I am sorry. Are you okay? We have not been able to do that unless we happen to have their first name, their last name, or their personal contact information. So that's in the digital go bag too. It's like, if there are people you want to talk to at any point in the rest of your life, get that name and number.
We're talking with Christina Dry here from USAID. And we got a minute left here. You've been a target online. Talk about that a little bit. What a surreal thing.
Yeah,
like some of the most powerful people in the world. Like,
I know, right? Elon and Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, and I'll try to be quick here because I know we're at time, but for me, if I worked at USAID and we were asking people around the world to support independent journalism and share their stories and engage in their democracy to be able to bolster, you know, their democracy, then I think that we have to ask that of ourselves. And I mean, living in Bosnia, I watched that, you know, every single day I was there, and I can't look at these people in the face and say, I asked you to do that, but I can't ask that of myself.
Yeah. It's something that it's really hard to put into words. And then one more question, because I've read articles about this and, you know, cutting all of these programs. Is this even legal? Can he legally do that?
Well, that's what the lawyers are trying to figure out. Well, number one, you can't unilaterally shut down USAID. So that part itself is definitely illegal. You also can't fire certain categories of people the way that he's been doing. So that's illegal. You also can't not pay people for work that's already been done. So when we get to this like contractor situation where our implementing partners have outstanding invoices for work that has already been completed, it is illegal to not pay them for those services. That is definitely illegal. Now, where we get to some of the things the lawyers are like really figuring out is to what level can you shut down certain programs without notice? To what level can you shut down certain categories of employment without notice? We'll see.
Christina Dry from USAID, I would love to have you back and kind of recap what's going on. And I thank you so very much for your work for
the country.
Thank
you for having me.
And your time today. Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The answer is blowing in the wind.
Welcome back. You got the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Wow. That was a remarkable discussion. Christina Dry, speechwriter and all things guru here for USAID. You know, that was something I was preparing for that discussion, and I didn't know what direction it was going to go. I talked to her before we did the interview a couple weeks ago, just to, you know, make sure that I'm on the level, because, you know, she has been attacked by some of the most powerful people in the world. You know, Elon singled her out numerous times for attacks, and her life has been very difficult over the last month. And but she has the courage of a lioness, and I hope she will be back, because just a remarkable story. And I'd love to talk to her about her time in Bosnia, but that really did stick out when we talked on the phone, where she said, I wondered, you know, how did people let this happen? And now she knows. And it's interesting, because, you know, authoritarianism doesn't happen typically through violence and through force. It happens through the ballot box. It happens when people voted in. And we're kind of witnessing that in real time. And it was really interesting to hear her talk about and articulate so much better than I, that's why she's a speechwriter, so much better than we ever could, about why USAID matters, why those programs are ones that are vitally important, you know, not just for the people that they serve, but at the end of the day, they serve the American people and they serve our interests. And so when things happen like a dust up in Ukraine, or God forbid something happens in the United States, we're going to need those people. We're going to need allies and friends. And what we've been doing over the last month, I can't believe it's only been a month, month and a half. But what we've been doing is just destroying those relationships that have taken generations to cultivate. And the trust, like she said, trust can be broken like that. And everything that we've done over these first few weeks of this administration has been breaking the trust and breaking alliances. There's so much damage that we've seen. And what's crazy is it's hard to really tell because we're so early into it. It's hard to tell which part of it is going to be the most damaging. You know, is it the trade war that we've now gone like twice through the trade war? We've announced that we were going to do these tariffs and then say, oh, we're not going to. And now they're back. There's no end in sight. And the frustrating thing in a laundry list of frustrating things is that there's no real plan. Christina said that a little bit in the interview, that there's so much confusion and there's no real end goal. So the American people are looking at all of these things, from the tariffs to dismantling government agencies to all of this, and they're like, what is the end goal here? It's very, very dark. And there's uncertainty across literally every spectrum of our country, you know, from food to national security to, as Christina said too, to the programs that we have, Medicaid, SNAP, Medicare, all of these things. He promised to work on these things, and here we are with no real plan. And I kind of want to tell you what I think is going to happen. I'm not necessarily in the business of making predictions, but I will make one. If I would put on a very dark hat and I was advising Donald Trump, this is what I would say. And first, you have to sit down and realize that the things that he wants to do are incredibly unpopular. And you will face unprecedented blowback, the likes of which the United States hasn't seen in generations. He wants to fundamentally transform the federal government and how the federal government has worked for hundreds of years. You want to strip people of their rights. You want to seize power like no one has done in the history of the country. You want to eliminate agencies that people depend on. You want to destroy relationships with our friends that have been ironclad since the 1800s. You want to dramatically increase the cost of living through tariffs and give tax breaks to the... Like, these things are not popular. You have to realize that. However, if you want to do it, there's a way, and we're seeing it. And that way is first, you have to make people hurt. And it is. He is. Make them feel pain, like higher cost of living, higher groceries and gas prices and vehicles and houses. Slow the economy down. Mail delivery. Make them question the federal government. Your services aren't working. Who's at fault? Benefits are slow to arrive. Tax refunds take months if you get them at all. Weather forecasts are spotty. Make it hurt. Drive that wedge as deeply as you can. You're seeing them do it in real time. Tariffs. Make Americans feel them. Watch the stock market free fall. And then what you do is, about 6 months before the midterms, just magically raise your wand and fix all the problems you created. Stop the tariffs, lower the taxes, give people stimulus checks. He talked about that. They're going to give a DOGE refund and make them feel like it is spring after a long, dark winter. And give them hope, but that hope comes from you, not the opponent. And you can do that because we're in an era right now where truth doesn't matter. And you can tell them, this is all, they can say it's Joe Biden's fault, it's Kamala Harris's fault, it's the Republican, it's the Democrats' fault, when in reality, it is Donald Trump's fault. And it's the fault of all of the people who enable him. Like right here in Wisconsin, we've got our buddy Ron Johnson and Tony Weed and Derek Van Orden, Brian Stow, those people, Tom Tiffany, Glenn Grothman. It is their fault that this is happening. But if you can switch that narrative and say, look at all of the things that we're doing. Look at all of these gifts I'm giving you. That's how it happens. I do believe that's how he's going to do it. He is going to make it worse before it gets better, because then this is an abusive relationship, guys. I've unfortunately have experience with that. This is how these relationships work. I'm going to hurt you, but I'm also the only one that can fix it. And what we have to do is know that it's coming. You have to know it's coming. because that's the only way we can fight it. Thank you all. Thanks to Christina Dry from USAID. Thanks to Amanda Behind the Glass and to Civic Media. This is Mark Becker on the Rational Revolution. We'll see you next week.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes, sir.
Fades.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. President Trump says on social media that he supports a Republican spending bill aimed at keeping the government open through September. He says Democrats will do anything they can to shut down the government, and he is calling on Republicans to remain united to get it passed. House Speaker Mike Johnson is set to put it up for a vote on Tuesday. Sadness in Newark, New Jersey, over the death of one police officer after a shooting. He's been identified as 26-year-old Joseph Ascana. A second officer is in the hospital and five are in custody, including a 14-year-old who was charged with murder, Mayor Ross Baraka.
These are officers who got up yesterday morning to do their job, to go outside and make sure our streets were safe, to make sure 8-year-olds are not killed by stray bullets. To make sure our grandmothers could sit on their porches in peace.